Greetings in the name of Jesus. Special welcome to the visitors among us. Trust you'll feel at home today in worshiping the Lord with us. On Thursday of this past week, we had an important day. And one of the children tell me what it was? You know what Thursday was? Right here. Ascension Day. What happened on Ascension Day? Back here. Okay, the day that Jesus went back to heaven. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read that short account in the book of Acts, the beginning of the message this morning. I've entitled the sermon this morning, Our Ascended Lord is King. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, I believe that's the disciples and Jesus, the disciples asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. A number of the other Gospels will give a little picture into this account as well. I'm not going to turn to them this morning, but get the picture of Jesus being with his disciples and discussing things like they had discussed before his crucifixion and resurrection from the dead. He was in his resurrected body. But then suddenly, as Jesus stops talking in verse 8, he started to go up. Jesus started to go up. And of course, his disciples' eyes kept going up with Jesus and looking up and up and up. And after a while, he disappears into the clouds. And then the angels come and say, well, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus that went up will come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Our ascended Lord is King. The city of Edinburgh has a skyline that is pierced by the spires of many churches. In every part of the city, it seems a solid stone house of worship lifts its spire above the surrounding homes and shops. And atop almost every spire, there towers the cross. But in this one respect, old St. Giles Cathedral seems different and unique. Astride the Royal Mall stands this great church in whose pulpit John Knox once preached. Above the city, this church holds up the crown instead of the cross. The crown above St. Giles Cathedral bears witness to the crown rights of the Redeemer and the divine monarch before whom the sovereigns of the realm have always knelt. We as Christian people get much meaning out of the cross. And the cross is certainly a fitting symbol of Christian faith and coming triumph of the gospel. I believe in our times, as well as in times gone by, we do spend more time talking about the cross of Jesus than we do about the crown of Jesus. Maybe the one's not more important than the other, but this morning we want to look at the crown of Jesus. Our ascended Lord is King. We often picture Jesus as meek and lowly. We picture Jesus as healing a blind man. We see Jesus feeding the multitude with the loaves and fishes. We see Jesus holding the little children in his arms. Or we picture Jesus riding on a donkey. We see Jesus washing his disciples' feet. We go back to the scene and we think about Jesus praying in Gethsemane. And we see Jesus hanging on the cross. Sometimes at Christmas time we hear the statement, and it's a fitting one, but we hear the statement, let's not leave Jesus in the manger. This morning I'd say, let's not leave Jesus on the cross. A very important message that is. The manger is very important, the cross is very important, but this morning let's move on to the Jesus of today. How often do we behold him as the one before whom every knee shall bow, as is found in Philippians chapter 2. We'll read that passage later on. But how often do you think of Jesus on a throne and every knee bowing before him? That's the Jesus that you and I have today with a crown. How often do you think of Jesus as the one who has all power in heaven and on earth? Matthew 28:18. How often do you think of Jesus as the Prince of the Kings of the Earth, found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5? Our ascended Lord is King. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, the first 14 verses of this passage, Paul has an introduction to the people at Ephesus. We're breaking in, perhaps, in the midst of a prayer, depending how you look at this passage. But we're going to break in at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I'd like to just take a number of points directly from verses 20 and 21 in thinking about Jesus, our ascended King. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. First point I have there is that God raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection. And it is the beginning of the ascension. Jesus could not be the ascended Lord without being the resurrected Lord. So our ascended Lord is King because God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. The next phrase, I wrote it down word for word, set him at his own right hand. Set him at his own right hand. That's the account we just read in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Of Jesus going into the clouds, disappearing from down from earth below, but he was set at God's right hand. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16 yet. That was, keep your fingers in Ephesians, we'll come right back. But I did want to look at Mark's account. He says this too about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father. Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So our ascended Lord is King because he was set at his own right hand. That's the ascension. Verse 21, we notice a number of things that Jesus is far above. Number one, he is far above all principality. Principality is a word synonym for rulers as we would know it today and as rulers are in the Bible. So Jesus is not just above, but he is far above all rulers. He is far above all power. Power is simply ability or strength. Men have power. Machines have power. The universe has power. The sun has power, but Jesus is far above all power, far above all might. You think of might, especially in Bible times, you think of the might of an empire or a nation. You might think of the Roman Empire and its mightiness, but Jesus is far above all might, and then he is far above all dominion. Dominion is simply territory under a government or a district that is governed. In Jesus' day, it was the Roman Empire that was looked up as the mighty nation of the world. Today, there are many mighty nations in the world. But as it was when Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, so it is today that Jesus is above all dominion, world over. He is above all. He is King. And then, the next phrase, and every name that is named. I wrote down, Jesus is far above every name. Turn with me to Philippians 2. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he again brings up this subject. I like some of his wording in Philippians 2, verse 9. He's speaking of Jesus again. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A name that is above every name. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. Go with me there. Another scene that portrays our Jesus, the ascended Lord. A future scene, I believe. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, I believe this is Jesus, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our ascended Lord is King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at the end of time, when man meets Jesus, as it was said in Philippians 2, every knee shall bow. There's some men that we meet in life as we go through life that seem to have everything under control, seem to have all knowledge. But at this day, those men will fall on their knees just like all the rest. All unbelievers will fall on their knees. All atheists, all evolutionists, all believers, all the world's renowned leaders that man looks up to in history, every one of them, when they see the face of Jesus and hear his name, they will bend down on their knees and worship. All famous church leaders, all hell-bound sinners, all saints, all Catholic popes. Donald Trump will fall on his knees before a mighty God, regardless what he has to say about God today. Turn with me to John 14. I'd like to just look at a few references about the name of Jesus. There are many, many in the New Testament. I was inspired by that in my study. I'm just going to touch a few. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that's the name of Jesus, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name. Turn a few pages ahead to John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Not sure if I'm at the right spot there. Yes, I am. The Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name, through the name of Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. A few more pages ahead to Acts chapter 16 and verse 18. Acts 16 and verse 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you. Ephesians chapter 5, back to the passage we were in. Let's go back there one more time. Maybe you noticed this verse while we were reading it. No, actually, we were in Ephesians 1, but this is Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we go forth proclaiming the ascended Lord as King, perhaps we should use that phrase more in our everyday speech. In the name of Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Thinking about the greatness of Jesus, thinking about the things that he is above, verse 22. I believe there's a change that takes place in this verse. Peter is talking about Jesus' ascension into heaven again. He says, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. I think we talked about the authorities and powers, but I wanted to think about this in relation to the angels. Jesus is given dominion over the angels. Jesus is greater than the angels. In math in school, you learn about that little symbol that says greater than or less than. You can put that little symbol in between Jesus and the angels. And Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than all the powers of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. You could put all the rulers of the world, you could put their names there, and then write Jesus on the other side, and Jesus is greater than all of them. Jesus is more powerful than the angels. Think about all the things that angels did in the Bible. Some other scenes may come to your mind, but I think of three scenes. I think of the death angel that came and destroyed Sennacherib's army. They died. A sea of men laying dead. I think of the angel that came and fed Elijah, gave him something to eat in a miraculous way. And I think of the angel that came to Peter there in the prison and unlocked the gate and unlocked the door and said, Peter, come out. But Jesus is greater than those angels. Jesus now has power over those angels. Back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet. So death is under his feet. Earth is under his feet. All human earthly power is under his feet. All dominions of the world are under his feet, and all men are under his feet. And he has made the head over the church. He hath put all things under his feet. Is Christ still the head of my church and your church in 2016? Are we giving him that proper place? Are we crowning him with that position? Philippians chapter 1 again. Thinking just a little bit about, we certainly know that Jesus is great enough to fill this position that God gave him, but yet there's some verses here that explain that. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. It talked about the fullness of Christ in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, filled with the fullness of Christ. There is another verse that I had in mind that is not in this passage. I was thinking it was. But it talks about the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in verse 19. But there is another verse here somewhere in Philippians that talks about the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I was struck by that phrase. The fullness of Jesus that filleth all in all. Jesus is that to us today. The fullness that can fill all in all. He is King Supreme. Not only over our lives, but over the world. Jesus is King. I'd like you to turn your church hymnal to number 141. I'd like to just sing this song. Thinking about crowning Jesus. And I thought of this song. Let's all stand to sing it. Church hymnal number 141. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark, heavenly anthem drowns all music, but its whole. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of absorbed in prayer. be seated. For closing passage, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As I was thinking about Jesus being crowned, Jesus being king, Jesus being all powerful. And then as you begin to look about the world that you and I live in, we might rightly raise the question, well, where is he? Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, you could go pick up the local newspaper today and you could read through that paper, and it would be unlikely that you would read anything about this king. There might be a few things there, but you would probably read about the difficulties and the perplexities and the wars that are found in this world that you and I live in. Maybe there's even personal tragedies in your own life. All of us have them to one degree or another that we can look back to and we can say, well, where was God in all of that? If he's king, where is he? We are troubled, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are even cast down, but we are not destroyed. I trust that's our testimony as we live in a broken, despairing world, a world that is impossible to figure out. But do you and I have the belief this morning that Jesus Christ is still king and that he's greater than all of those troubles? Should we spend any time at all worrying about the future if Jesus is king? In closing, maybe just making it a little more personal to my life and to your life. You know, the world has a lot of things to offer that are a little like offering us kings. You know, if you think of the kings in the Old Testament times, if the king had a servant, why, that servant was expected to give his life and his time to serve that king, to protect him or to feed him or whatever his duty was as a servant. There are a lot of kings and a lot of other things beckoning for our allegiance today. The question personally to you and to me is, Jesus more than just my Savior, is he my King? We live in a world that is full of the pursuit of pleasure. pursuit of pleasure, a world that is full of the worship of lust. There is great homage paid today to status, the things that you and I and the people around us can do for status. There is much bowing to the shrine of security, to the so-called securities of man. There is an endless quest for riches and money. And there is an endless amount of possession of things. The list could go on and on. But is he my king? Is he your king? Shall we pray?